Bishus, Marina Rabbeinu, Weinberger Shlita, Bishus, the Rabbanim, my father and my father-in-law, and all my dear friends. Just want to thank quickly Shmuley Spergel and Freddy Spergel for helping sponsor tonight. See him, Shkoyach. You should see Simcha Nachas from all the kinder. A few months ago, I was sitting around the table with my kids, my wife, and I said to them that I don't think I'm going to be able to make a siyum this year. I was caught up with various things, responsibilities, good things, shiurim and whatnot, and I felt very behind my schedule. I said, I just don't think I'll make it this year, but maybe the following year I'll be able to make the siyum. And my kids were absolutely devastated. They thought that meant I stopped learning entirely. They thought it meant I would stop going to Minyan. So they were pretty much crying. So they cried at me and they forced me to catch up and stop sitting around being lazy and learn a little bit. So that's what I did. But then I said to myself, well, maybe you don't have to make such a big siyum. Make a small siyum for the family, because I feel bad, you know, schlepping everyone out here in a Matzei Shabbos. And then to advertise, you know, what I'm accomplishing. And the worst part is that, you know, I asked all the speakers not to speak about me, so they all listen except for Weinberg, who doesn't listen, and he always speaks about me. So I'm sitting here uncomfortable, inviting you to come to my party to hear about how great I am. And so now, Baruch Hashem, for me, but unfortunately for you, Weinberg can't speak tonight. He lost his voice, so he should have before Shlema. But at least I'll be here comfortably. Assuming I believe which will listen to my orders. And just give chizik and learning. So Warmer felt very bad that he wouldn't be speaking tonight, but when he heard Rabbi Leibowitz would be speaking, he was very very comfortable and excited to have Rabbi Leibowitz tonight, a dear friend of mine. And I could say with great confidence that close to 100% of the room here probably have listened to multiple shiurim of Rabbi Leibowitz and consider themselves talmidim of Rabbi Leibowitz. And the quantity of shiurim, the quality of the shiurim, the substance, the mamakomos, the clarity, is incredibly impressive. So many of you talmidim, virtual talmidim of Rabbi Leibowitz, may not know him personally. So I'm a virtual talmid of him. I'm also a close friend of his as well. And as impressive as his shiurim are, that's how impressive his interpersonal skills are. His midos, the way he understands people and situations and relationships, and people seek his advice from all over the world. So it's really a great kavod to introduce my dear friend, Rabbi Leibowitz.
Rabbi Levin called me a little while ago and asked me if I can speak at the Siyum. My first thought was, no problem, I could speak about you for hours. And then I said, no problem. And he said, oh, just one rule, you can't speak about me. It never occurred to me to ask in return that he not speak about me at his Siyum. So, no. Bereshos Marenu V'Rabenu Shlita Yishev Refuah Shleima B'Karov. I'm Bereshus, the Baal Simcha, and the entire Mishpacha, and the Talmidim Shehim Kibanim, and all of the Chaverim who are here to celebrate. Rabbi Levin called me about 3 or 4 days ago to remind me that I'm supposed to be speaking tonight. And of course, I had remembered. I actually programmed it into my phone, so I knew that I was going to remember. And after I hung up the phone with him, it occurred to me that it was 3 or 4 days in advance of the Siyum. I do Daf Yomi. We're pretty much holding at that point at the same place in Shas, right? Meaning he was probably about Maseches Nida away from finishing Shas 3 days ago, and I'm going to finish in about 2 months. So we were holding in the same place. It's just that we were working at a slightly different pace. So Bez Hashem, in 2 months, the rest of us will be able to catch up on our 7.5 years of work. But I did promise that I was not going to speak about him. So, and Rabbi Levin wants this to be about a chizik in Talmud Torah. So let's try to be mechazik a little bit in the Inyan din of Talmud Torah. You know, the Chazal already, and certainly the Rishonim and Achronim pick up on it as well, but Chazal already look at the Aron as a prototype for how a Talmud Chacham is supposed to be. That the way the Aron was made in the Mishkan and in the Mikdash is somehow supposed to represent what a Talmud Chacham is. And most famously, what Chazal tell us, and Rashi and Chumash quotes it, the Tocho Kibaro, the Midos on the inside reflecting what's exposed to the outside, what the world gets to see. And certainly our Baal Simcha, who we're not speaking about, my dear friend Rav Levin Shlita, certainly fulfills that requirement. But there's one element of the Aron that sometimes gets a little bit lost, that people sometimes forget even exists. The Torah tells us, V'yatzaktalo arba tabos zahav v'nasata al arba pa'amosav, that you are supposed to put something on the pa'amosav of the Aron, the pa'amos. What in the world are pa'amos? So Rashi writes, pa'amosav zavioseha. It's corners. It was a box. A box has corners. So it needs something to go on its corners. The Ebenezer comments, chipasti b'chol ha-mikra. I looked through all of Mikra, v'lo matzasi pam shuhu zavis. I never found anywhere that the term pam is used to describe a corner. If that's what it means over here, then this is the only place where that's what it means. Everywhere else, it must mean something else. And he says, I think, based on everywhere else, and he quotes about 10 psukim, rak milashon regel, that pa'amosav referred to its legs, which means it's amazing. I mean, you look at a picture of the Aron, any picture book, there aren't any legs. But says the Ibn Ezra, there are legs to the Aron. It wasn't just a box. It had legs to it. It was standing on legs. But why? Why doesn't it call it, and if it has legs, why doesn't it call it raglayim? Right, that's what we have, a perfectly good word in Hebrew for legs. Why pa'amosav? Lashon HaKodesh is so amazing in that words that we translate into English exactly the same way mean totally different things or have completely different connotations and will educate us in an entirely different way in Lashon HaKodesh. Another thing, if you rely on picture books that we may misunderstand, is if you've ever seen a picture of an angel, of Malachim. So we always picture Malachim with two wings. That the Navi in Yeshaya tells us that that's not true. A Malach doesn't have two wings, a Malach has six wings. It's Bishtayi Michasa Panav, with two it covers its face. Bishtayi Michasa Raglav, with two it covers its, the Malach covers his legs. And Bishtayi Yofef, then he's got the two regular wings that we normally picture, right? Why does a Malach have to, covering the face, maybe I understand. Why does a Malach have to cover its legs? Well, what's the point of covering legs? To the contrary, we learn from the legs of a malach how to stand during Shmona Esrei. Ragleim regel yishara, right? We stand like we have one leg, like a malach. So the yisod might be as follows: the word pam, it doesn't really mean leg. It means a leg that's taking a step, movement, refusal to stay in one place. Vayasam l'derech pa'amav. Means legs, like the Ebenezer says, but not the kind of legs that stand still. The kind of legs that move, that carry a person. Torah tells us about Shimshon Agibar. The Navi tells us, the Pasuk tells us, V'tachal ruach Hashem l'pa'amo b'machan adan. Kli Yakar explains, l'pa'amo miloshem psia. It's a step. Sheruach Hashem t'chafto l'skadim. That the ruach Hashem was pushing him to go forward. Don't stop, just keep moving. When the Aron has legs, it doesn't have raglayim. Raglayim could be regel yashara. Raglayim can stand in one place. The Aron's legs and the Talmud Chacham's legs are pa'amosav. The Aron represents the Talmud Chacham, the Ben Torah. One of the defining characteristics of a Ben Torah is someone who's always growing, always moving to the next spiritual challenge, never stopping, never saying, oh, I set a goal to finish Shas, I did it, I'm done. There's always more. And each time, it's on a higher level. Each time with a greater depth of understanding. Each time with a greater familiarity with it. Always, always moving forward. You know, years ago, there was a video that was very popular. It was made into a book, and it was translated into something like 50 or 60 languages. I don't know how many languages there are. I can't even think of more than like seven. But it was translated into lots of different languages. And it was a fellow who gave a lecture in Carnegie Mellon University. It was called The Last Lecture. Probably many people saw it, right? where this fellow describes how he had all of these dreams as a child, and he set out when he was given a terminal diagnosis, he decided that he was going to go and accomplish all of his dreams. And he gave this lecture about how he, you know, he wanted to play on stage at a rock concert, so he did that. And he wanted to play NFL football. He didn't do that, but he walked on the field at least. He went to the Sima Shas or something, you know. And how he went, and he accomplished all of his dreams. And at the time that I first saw it, I was talking to my friend Rabbi Eli Storch about it, and I said it was so inspiring. He says, not inspiring for me. I said, why not? He said, I spoke to Rebbe about it, to Rav Weinberger. I said, well, what did Rav Weinberger say? He said, I told him about it. I told how this guy went, and he accomplished all of his dreams. And Rav Weinberger said, that's so sad. And I said, yeah, of course, it's so sad that the guy's dying, and this is what he's... So he said, no, it's so sad that his dreams when he was 6 years old are the same dreams that he has when he's 45 years old. His dreams never developed. You know, if when I was 8, I wanted to play shortstop for the Yankees, okay, I can understand. If now I want to play shortstop for the Yankees, so he's wrong. Right, your dreams are supposed to develop. Your dreams are supposed to grow. A person is supposed to move. So I'll be Mochel Rav Weinberger publicly for totally killing that lecture for me, but for teaching a very, very important lesson. That's what the Pa'amosav are. The Malachim, the Malachim have legs. Ragleim regli yashara. Their legs don't move. A Malach is wonderful. A Malach is inspiring. But he's no more wonderful. He's no more inspiring than he was on the day he was created. We're mahalchim. We get to go. The malachim are omdim. And it's a great source of embarrassment for the malachim. They have two wings that have to cover their legs because it's embarrassing. They have raglayim. They don't move. Raglayim regal yishara. Shlomo HaMelech, when he wants to talk about how terrible Rishayim are, the Psukim Koheles we just read over Yantif, he doesn't paint a picture of like an evil villain. He compares, if you look through the Psukim, he compares Rishayim to the Chama, the Levana. That sounds like the stuff of poetry. It doesn't sound like you're describing something terrible. What he's saying, what distinguishes a Rasha from a Tzaddik, is that the Rasha is not moving. He is what he was. Could have been created however many millennia ago, and he's still exactly the same thing. That's what changes a Tzaddik. That's what makes a Jew different. Now, on Yom Tovim, we're just coming off of the Yom Tov season and a beautiful Simchas Torah, and now we're coming right into a Simchas HaTorah of Torah Shebal Peh. Just such an incredible zuchus to be able to share in such a Simchas HaTorah, and it's so appropriate that it's what happens after. It's right after our Simchas Torah, and now we're told there's more. Okay, that was Torah Shebichsav. There's more, there's Torah Shebal Peh. Let's celebrate Torah Shebal Peh. In the Shemoneh Esrei, we don't describe Shalosh Regaleinu, Shalosh Pa'amei Regaleinu. It's the movement that we're growing, that we're inspired. You know, my friend Rabbi Andy Yudin once said to me that when you see people celebrating with the Torah, you know, it's nice, everyone celebrates with the Torah. But the ultimate test, you know, to see who really becomes like a chasan Torah, who really becomes someone who's fully connected to the Torah. So it's a very simple test. You go to a chasana, everyone is dressed up. Everyone's dressed nicely at a chasana. Sometimes you can't tell who the chasan is. Remember the first time I was Masada Kiddushin, clean shaven and pretty, I was pretty young at the time. First time I was Masada Kiddushin, someone comes over to me, obviously from the Kala side, gives me a big mazel tov and a kiss, and you know, how long were you dating the Kala before you got engaged? They couldn't identify. They couldn't identify the chasna. So how do you identify the chasna and the chasna? It's the guy who goes home with the Kala afterwards. That's the chasna. We want to know who the real chasna Torah is. It's the one who goes home with the Kala afterwards. Rabbi Tendler once commented, my brother was in Rabbi Tendler Shul for Simchas Torah, and my brother said that Rabbi Tendler commented, ooh, this chassan is a chassidish chassan. He's never met the Kala before in his life. But sometimes we have a chassan. Sometimes we have a chassan that's a true chassan. A chassan that goes home with the Kala afterwards. Now, Rabbi Levin, with all the years, I'm just one quick comment. With all the years that we've been such close chaverim and such a special close to have chaverim like this, there were so many talmidim that Rabbi Levin was able to inspire, some of whom were here reminding me, are here, and were reminding me of the first Sima Shas in the basement of DRS. I say Rabbi Levin used to make a siyum on every Seder, but then it got ridiculous. Every Seder of Shas. So it was like every week there was another something. But the first siyum of Shas that we were at, and Rabbi Levin often likes to tell the Talmidim, and this, it's not about you, it's about the Talmidim. Rabbi Levin likes to tell the Talmidim, I'm just a kid from Frisch. I'm just a regular kid from Teaneck who went to Frisch. His parents could vouch for it. They're here, right? Just a kid from Teaneck who went to Frisch. How does a kid from Teaneck who went to Frisch finish? I don't know how many times it is already, you know. I have an uncle who whose sister had something like 13, 14 children. So I remember once I was at his house, and it was Friday night. I said, you going to the Shalom Zachar? He said, I'll go next year. It's like, I'll go next year. I don't know how many times it is, but how does a kid from Frisch do that? It's very simple. A kid from Frisch does that by taking one step and then the next step and then the next step. Putting one foot in front of the other. By not having ragleim regel yeshara. And of course, there's a lot that goes into it. There's an Esh Hayil that goes into it. There's a family that supports. There's a family of children that cried because they thought he wasn't going to make a Sima Shas. If my children cried every time they thought I wasn't going to make a Sima Shas, they'd be very sad children. There's a lot that goes into it. There's a Rebbe that inspires us. There's a lot that goes into it. But be'ikr, it's a person who just looks to grow every single day, who just looks to take another step forward every single day. And it's overwhelming. We can't really relate to it. Finishing Shas every, at least I can't. I can't really relate to it. I would imagine that if I were to try to do it, I would have to quit my job, and I would be the meanest person in the world. People would come talk to me, and I would just be rushing them. You've all spoken to Rabbi Levin. You never ever feel like he's agitated or rushed or trying to get rid of you. I don't know when he does, because he actually talks to us. He actually talks to people and is easygoing. And to do something like this, one step in front of the next, we should all learn from Rabbi Levin. Again, Shas every year, it's a little much to ask of all of us. But we should all, and like I personally do, I'm sure the rest of us do, all of his chaverim, we should learn from Rabbi Levin the value of always looking to grow well into adulthood and becoming a greater Talmud Chacham, a greater Tzaddik, a greater Marbitz Torah. And the Ribbono Shel Olam should give him much bracha and the good health and the ability, the koach, to be able to continue his incredible Avodas HaKodesh and be an inspiration for all of us.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Lewis, for those kind words and inspirational words. And you should continue to be mashpia, and many of us, all of us, in growing in your learning and your teaching. I want to thank, I don't think Menachem Lewin is here, but Menachem Lewin always does things behind the scenes. He set this all up with very little time after Shabbos. To Shkarech Tim and to all the Feder boys who came as well to help put things together, thank you very much. So I was saying before that I had a Havamina to make a small siyum this year just with family. And then someone who's in the room right now came to me a few weeks ago and said they wanted to know what to learn next, because one of my siyumim I made 3 years ago was inspired to make a siyum on Mishnayos annually. And he already finished it three times. So I said, if one person is getting chizik from this, it's worthwhile to make it something public. I hope others do as well. And so each year, I like to describe a different mashal that Chazal give in describing the Torah. Many different mashalim Chazal give to describe what the Torah means to us in the various messages and lessons. We've discussed Torahs compared to Dvash and compared to milk, Torah to Shira. So this year I want to discuss the description of the Torah as Torah Tavlin. So Gemara in Shabbos tells us a well-known debate between Moshe Beinu and the Malachim. The Malachim are trying to hold back HaKadosh Baruch Hu from giving the Sefer Torah, the entire Torah, to Klal Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Malachim, various mitzvahs, they're listed in the Torah, and he's listing on and on, their silence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't say anything. He says, Zachar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho. Do you, Malachim, do work that you need a Shabbos? There's no response. Lo Sisa, you have no parents. And there's no response. Until finally Moshe Rabbeinu says, Yetzahara Yesh Beinechem. Do Malachim have a Yetzahara? And to that, Miyad Hodilo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu admitted that you're right, that only mankind who struggle with the Yetzahara are worthy of the Torah. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu handed Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah. And so we see from the Gemara that the whole purpose of the Torah is to fight against the Yetzirah. And the Gemara in Kedushin echoes this idea. Gemara describes the pasuk v'samtem. V'samtem is a lashon of samtam, a pure type of antidote. Nimshila Torah kisam chaim. That the Torah is compared to a medicine that gives life to a person. And it's a mashal to a person who hits his child and he gives the child a band-aid. The Gemara says that the father tells the son, so long as the band-aid's on your wound, you can eat what you want, you could drink what you want, you could bathe in hot water, cold water, nothing's going to affect you as long as your cut is covered. You take off the band-aid, so then you're going to be vulnerable to any disease, sickness. So too says the Gemara, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Am Yisrael, Barasi Yetzahara, Barasi Lo Torah Tavlin. Imoskim Torah, if you're Osek in Torah, the Tavlin, so then you're not going to be handed over to the Yetzahara. If you are not Osek Be Talmud Torah, so then you will be handed over to the hands of the Yetzahara. And so we see that the Gemara tells us that the Torah is the antidote to the Yetzahara. The strange thing is that the Magen Avraham Vedrish asks the question that Torah is compared to Tavlin. Tavlin is what you put on basar. You have a piece of meat, you have a steak, put some pepper, salt, garlic, whatever you like, and the ikar is the basar. So how could you call the Torah Tavlin, the spices? The Torah is what the HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to create the world. The Torah is what guides us, what leads us in this world. How could the Torah be just Tavlin, the spices that add a little salt and pepper to the basar, to the steak that we're eating? And so the Maggid answers, the Chidah answers the same way, along the same lines. He writes that the Iker is the Yetzahara. We learned in today's parsha that we were created with a Yetzahara. And that Yetzahara is the Iker. But it's through the Tavlin of the Torah that helps guide where that Yetzirah goes. It helps sweeten the Yetzirah. Medrash tells us that Tov Me'od, when it's described in today's parashah, is referring to Yetzirah. Because although the Yetzirah is something that drives us to something we shouldn't be doing, it's that basar, that meat, that Yetzirah represents. When you spice it the right way, you sweeten it in the right way, you channel your drive, your impulse, your inclinations towards something positive, so then even the Yetzirah is something that's tov ma'od. We all have certain taivas, whether it's a taivas mammon, a taivas kavod, honor we're looking for, we're looking to accomplish something. But the Torah tells us if you have that sprinkled with Torah, and not just sprinkled, but really with the basis of Torah, you could just channel that drive, that desire to something positive. A person might have an inclination to look around, see what other people have, what people don't have, and look at all the negativities one has. So one approach is to work on looking at your own Dalet Amos. Alternatively, it could be the guy's nature is to look around. But maybe he could look around to see what opportunities there are to help the person who doesn't have the right shoes, the right coat, The Gra writes in Evan Shlema that Af Misha Tivara, the guy's nature is to do that which is wrong. Lo Yelech Negra Tevelagamra. The person shouldn't go against that nature. You have a child who's rambunctious. That's how he is. That children are. To make them sit in a corner and do nothing, that's going against their nature. Kilo Yiskayim B'yado is not going to be affected by telling him don't be that way, because that's who he is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created him with a certain nature. But you have to do is Tzarech L'Eschanich Leilech B'derech HaYashar P'tivo. To use his kochos, his strengths, his skills, and just channel it in the right way. And he gives the example of a person that has a certain thirst for blood. He likes blood. He likes things that are disgusting, and ripping out teeth and surgery, whatever it might be. That most of us probably can't appreciate. But he likes to see blood. So what do you do with such a person? So he writes, a guy should be a shochet, he should be a mo. Because that's using that nature of his to something positive. And it's true of every single person here. Whatever inclination you have, don't try to suppress it. But just channel in the right way. And the way to channel that is through Limud HaTorah. Because Torah is the tavlin that spices, that sweetens the Yetzara. Because even the Yetzara is Tov Me'ot. The Mishnah Avos tells us, Ezu Gibor, which type of person is a Gibor? HaKovish is Yitzra, one who conquers, overcomes his Yetzara. And so Baal Shem Tov asks the question, the Mishnah seems to be incorrect in asking the question of Ezu. It should really be me, HaGibor. Who is one who's strong? Ezu Gibor sounds like which of the two or three options? Which one's a Gibor? Well, which options are we talking about? It's not me, it says Ezu. So what are the possible options, what the Mishnah is describing? So Baal Shem Tov explains that there are two types of tzaddikim. Shnei mini tzaddikim. There's a tzaddik echad she'ein maniach hayetzar lekarav etzlo. One type of tzaddik doesn't let the yetzar come anywhere near him. We'll call him a type of tzaddik as a yom kippur dikka tzaddik, where he separates from all of gashmius, doesn't eat and doesn't drink. That's one type of tzaddik. V'kodim bo elav marchiko me'ela. Before the yetzar comes close to him, he just sends it away. That's one type of tzaddik. But there's a second type of tzaddik, he explains. Yesh tzaddik shemenicha lavo etzlo. Who allows the Yetzar come to his, into his Dalet Amos. Which is everyone here. There are certain tzaddikim who are able to live in such a way where they're removed from the gashmis. None of us live that way. We all eat and drink and engage in this world. We'll call that the Purim type of tzaddik. And this type of tzaddik allows the Yetzar come into his Dalet Amos. Ach Kovsho, he takes it and he conquers it. Shlola Sito Laver, that doesn't let it come to him and entice him to do something wrong. He allows that drive, that impulse to come, and before doing something wrong, he just channels it the right way. And perhaps this could be the understanding of the word Kovish. Of sure, we said today in the Pasuk of conquering. Conquering doesn't mean to destroy, it means to take control of. And there's another word in Hebrew called kvushim. What's kvushim? Something that's pickled. You take a piece of basar and you put tavlin on it. You spice it. You take a herring, you pickle it. You take a cucumber, you pickle it. You spice it. You put the tavlin on it. It's exactly what the Chidah said and the Magen Medrash said as well. That when Torah is a tavlin, it means you take the Yetzirah, you take that drive, and you just channel it the right way. HaKovish's Yitzro means you have to pickle it, if you will. You have to put the tavlin, the Torah on it, and use your strengths. You might think your inclinations are a weakness, but they're really your greatest strengths. And that's the second type of tzaddik. Ezu Gibor, which of the two tzaddikim is the greater one? The tzaddik who stays far away, the Yom Kippur Dikat tzaddik, or the Purim Dikat tzaddik? And says the Baal Shem Tov, based on this Mishnah, it's the one who takes the Yetzirah as Kovish's Yetzirah, who embraces the Yetzirah and uses it to channel in the right way. Because we all have Yetziraharas here. We all have Taivas here. And the question is, where are we positioning it? We all have that fuel to accomplish something. Are we going to go this way? Or are we going to go that way? And there's a maisa of a wealthy individual who was not religious, who was passing through the city of Baranovich. And he grew up there and he remembered that old friend of his, Elchanan. Remember, Elchanan was a very smart young student. And he thought maybe he still lived in the city, wanted to know what he was up to. Perhaps he became an incredible professor of sorts. So when he got to that city, he was asking around for some guy, Elchanan Wasserman. So they pointed to a house which was very small and humble. And the individual knocks on the door, reintroduces himself. They embraced each other. And he said, "No, Elchanan," I apologize for calling him Elchanan, but Elchanan, the individual said, What came of you? You live in such a simple house. You look like a long beard. You're dressed the way you're dressed. You could have accomplished so much more with your wisdom." And the two of them ended up going to the train station together. And two trains came in. One was going north and one was going south. Rav Elchanan was headed south, and it was a very nice, lavish, comfortable, cushioned train. And there's another train going north where the wealthy individual was catching a train to go to his next stop, which was a very worn down train. So they buy tickets, and the wealthy one buys a ticket to the northern train. So Rav Elchanan asks him, "Why are you buying the train to the north?" He says, "What do you mean? I'm going to the north. That's where my next stop is." Said, "But the south, such a nicer train, the cushions, the air conditioning, whatever they had on it." Said, "But it doesn't make any sense to go south because I'm not going south, I'm going north." Rav Elchanan said, "Well, that's my whole point. We all have a train. We all have a journey that we're traveling. We all have that fuel, that energy, that motivation, the impulse. But which train are you taking? You're taking the northern train, you're taking the southern train. It's all that same Yetzirah. It just depends how you direct it." So, Mirat Hashem, we should all be zocha to tap in to those strengths of ours, what we think might be weaknesses, and use it to accomplish great things in Limud HaTorah, in Chesed, in Tefillah. And be zocha to Gula Shem Ba'amit HaTorah Amin Amin. Amen. Let me quickly finish the Gemara here. Gemara at the end of Maseches Nida tells us the last few lines. Tana de Be'elio, Kol Hashon Halachos, V'chol Yom Muftach Lo Shuv Ben Olam Haba. Person who learns Halachos every single day, Zoche, he's promised, he's guaranteed Olam Haba. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Halichos Olam Lo, Al Tikrei Halichos Elo Halachos, Hajin Lach Tinokos V'Slikol Maseches Nida, Hajin Lach Maseches Nida V'Talmud Babli, Hajin Chalon, Daitach Maseches Nida V'Talmud Babli, Daitach Chalon, Lo Nishish Menach Maseches Nida V'Talmud Babli, Lo Sishin Menon Lo Bama Dein V'Abba Da'asi, Hajin Lach Maseches Nida V'Talmud Babli, Hajin Chalon, Daitach Maseches Nida V'Talmud Babli, Daitach Chalon, Lo Nishish Maseches Nida V'Talmud Babli, Lo Sishin Menon Lo Bama Dein V'Abba Da'asi, Hajin Lach Maseches Nida V'Talmud Babli, Hajin Chalon, Daitach Maseches Nida V'Talmud Babli, Daitach Chalon, Lo Nishish Maseches Nida V'Talmud Babli, Lo Sishin Menon Lo Bama Dein V'Abba Da'asi, Yerotzon Panecha Adonai Elohim V'Aseinu, Shethei Sarascho Munaseinu Bol Nazad, Usehei Immanuel Haba, Hanin Bar Papa, Rami Bar Papa, Nachman Bar Papa, Acha Bar Papa, Abba Bar Mari Bar Papa, Rafa Bar Papa, Rachsh Bar Papa, Surcha Bar Papa, Adar Bar Papa, Dora Bar Papa, Harem Nadu Nail Hines, the race of Ascha, Befino, Fia Samcha, Base Israel, Venea Colonna, Nachnu, Sena, Sitsamcha, Base Israel, Colonna, Deshmechno, Tesa, Sachlishma, Moiva, Stechak, Minimus Osecha, Kili, Olami, Hili, Hili, Bissamim, Kukach, Laman, Lo Evosh, Loyolam, Loeshkach, Bikudecha, Kivam, Hisani Burkata, Denai Lamdenu, Kukacha, Amen, 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 Salavad, Odima Nachnu, Lavanacha, Denai Lenu, Senu, Shesamtech, Kingdom Yoshi, Base, Imagine. Chacham Yamol Li Lazari Shol Sama Shatar Mipi Mipi Zari Vizarazari Adolam Vesiskaim Bi Bishalecha Beatancha Osach Bishachba Tishmalecha Vakitosa Hisisichecha Kivi Yirbu Yomecha Vyosifu Lachoshno Sachaim Orech Yomim Bimina Bismala Osha Vechavada Adonai Oza Maritain Adonai Varech Simba Shalom. Okay, yeah? I called her, yeah?